Well, good morning, everyone. It's a privilege to be able to once again remember the Lord Jesus each week. I don't think I often understand how precious and valuable these moments are. There is often much going on in our lives that we forget how precious it is. But so often the Lord brings us into His presence, and even if we come unprepared, He still provides that which we need. There's a passage that I just want to share with you that's been of great encouragement to me over the years. They're very well-known verses. And often when you find a passage where there are well-known verses, you don't look at the rest of the passage. So I'd like to look with you at the book of Isaiah and chapter 40. As we know, the book of Isaiah is split into two halves. The first half of the book of Isaiah is to do with primarily what's going to happen before the captivity. Whilst the second half speaks about the promises that will happen after the captivity or during the captivity. We are, chapter 40 is the start of the promises that are going to occur after the captivity or during the captivity. And therefore it brings a lot of hope to the nation of Israel. For the first 39 chapters, he has told them this is the consequence of your sin and walking away from God. And let us never forget, brothers and sisters, that even though we live in the age of grace, that there are still consequences to our sins. And sin should never be taken lightly. It should never be treated like it has no effect. Sin always has an effect. And its effect is far worse than what you think it will be. To such a degree that when we look at the prophet Jeremiah, who also predicted the captivity and during the captivity what was happening, he also spoke about how it would be 70 years long because of the sin of the people. But remember what other false prophets did. At the time of Jeremiah, they would say to the people, it's not going to be 70 years. It's only going to be a short time. It's not as bad as Jeremiah says it is. But Jeremiah was found to be true. And these false prophets, they downplayed the consequence of sin. But we do the same. We say it's not that bad. Or it's not that serious. It's only a little lie. It's only something small. Everyone does it. There are consequences to sin. Why? Because God is absolutely holy. God cannot look at sin and just leave it.
الله ما ينفعش يبص الخطية ويسيبها.
Know who you are dealing with.
تعرف أنت بتتعامل مع مين.
But in chapter 40 of Isaiah,
لكن في إصحاح 40 من إشعياء,
this is the character of our God. He can't leave his people saying to them, you will be punished for your sins. But then he wants to comfort them. So he says to them at the start of the chapter, comfort ye my people, says your God. And we know that this chapter also tells us of John the Baptist, the one who's coming before the Lord Jesus. This is the hope of the nation of Israel. But the Lord Jesus himself is our hope. So we come to these beautiful verses at the end of the chapter. From verse 28. I'll read one verse and my brother will read it. It says, have you not known, have you not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, faints not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He gives power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles, they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint.
وأما منتظر الرب فيبددون قوة يرفعون أجنحة كالنسور يركضون ولا يتعبون يمشون ولا يعيون.
These are beautiful verses.
دي آيات جميلة جدا.
I think, well, I'm sure that in most homes you'll have one of these verses hanging in your home.
أنا متأكد إن أنتوا أكيد بتطبعوا آية من دول وبتعلقوها في البيت عندكم.
Or at some stage in your life someone shared with you these verses. A time when you were going through a difficulty and someone shared this with you. And they've been a great source of encouragement. And we've turned to them and reminded of them constantly in our lives. But do you ever ask yourself, why do these verses exist? Why did the Lord provide these words in this chapter 40? And verse 28, it starts with two questions. It says, have you not heard? And then he says, the second part of it says, have you not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, faints not, neither is weary? It's as if he's implying there are things you should know, but you don't know them. There are things that you've heard, but you've forgotten. There is so much that we know, but we forget. There is so many of God's promises that we are given that we just forget. There are so many commands of God that we know that we ignore. You know, it's often been said that you will never be held accountable for what you don't know. But you will be held accountable for what you do know. This is the way that we operate not only in this world, but even God's word tells us this. Have you not known? Have you not heard? What's the problem, Lord? It comes in verse
27.
The nation of Israel is saying something to the Lord.
شعب إسرائيل بيقول حاجة للرب.
So he tells them these two questions.
فهو بيقول لهم السؤالين دول.
The first question says, why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel?
لماذا تقول يا يعقوب وتتكلم يا إسرائيل؟
The first part is, my way it is hidden from the Lord.
قد اختفت طريقي عن الرب.
The second one is, and my judgment is passed over from my God. The nation of Israel is coming to God and they're posing two questions. Or they're making two statements, I should say. And so God comes back and says, why are you saying this? What are they saying? The first part says, my way is hid from the Lord. Now neither the Arabic or the English translation really give the meaning of what this question. If you want to sum up what this question means, it's as if they're saying to God, you don't even care. We are going to be in captivity for so many years. You've forgotten about us. You've left us. The people that you've chosen have become so bad that you pulled yourself away from them. And so the Lord comes to them and says to them, why are you saying that your way is hidden from the Lord? I can't see what you're doing. I don't care about what you're doing anymore. Imagine that. Imagine coming to your God and telling him why he doesn't care. Is there anyone that cares for us more than him? You know he cares for us even when we don't care about ourselves? You know he cares for you when all you can see is the disaster in front of you? When you think about the way that a mother cares for her child, the tenderness that she deals with the child, she's patient, she gives of herself. If she could take that hurt and take it upon herself, she would. If it would mean that she would lose her life, her dignity for the sake of the child, she will do it. And here the Lord is like baffled with their question. Why would you say, I don't care? Do you remember in the Gospel of Mark? The Gospel of Mark in chapter 4.
إنجيل مرقس إصحاح 4.
From verse 35.
من عدد 35.
It says, in the same day when the evening was come, he says to them, let us pass over to the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into that ship, so that it was now full.
حدث نوء ريح عظيم فكانت الأمواج تضرب إلى السفينة حتى صارت تمتلئ.
And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow, and they awoke him, and they said to him, Master, do you not care that we are perishing?
وكان هو في المؤخر على وسادة نائما فأيقظوه وقالوا له يا معلم أما يهمك أننا نهلك؟
And he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm.
فقام وانتهر الريح وقال للبحر اسكت اتكم فسكتت الريح وصار هدوء عظيما.
And he said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?
وقال لهم ماذا لكم خائفين هكذا كيف لا إيمان لكم.
And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him.
فخافوا خوفا عظيما وقالوا بعضهم لبعض من هو هذا فإن الريح أيضا والبحر يطيعانه.
When their situation became beyond saving,
لما الموقف بقى صعب جدا مش قادرين يحلوه,
one of them thought, let me go and wake the master.
واحد فيهم فكر وقال خليني اروح اصحي الرب.
So they go and they wake the Lord.
فراحوا صحوا الرب.
And they said to him, Master, do you not care that we are perishing?
فراحوا صحوا قالوا له يا معلم اما يهمك اننا نهلك.
Imagine yourself in that position.
تخيل نفسك في الموقف ده.
Master.
يا معلم.
Wake up.
اصحى.
We are about to die.
احنا هنموت.
Do you not care? Now I just want you to picture for a moment the expression on his face. How would he look at you? The Bible says he is through the Spirit of God. That he got up. And he rebuked the wind. If he did not rebuke the wind, guess who he was going to rebuke? He should have turned to them and said, wait a minute, I'm here. How can anything happen to you when I'm here? How could you possibly believe that things are out of control? Why would you think that you are at the mercy of the waves and the winds when I am with you? So I think that the Lord got up. And then as the ship is rocking and the sounds of the winds are so strong and everybody on the boat is absolutely drenched, and he gets up and he rebukes the wind and he says to the sea, peace, be still. It's as if he's saying to the ocean exactly what he wants to say to his disciples. It's as though he's going to rebuke them, and it's as though he's going to say, peace, be still. Like the psalmist tells us, be still and know that I am God. Not in the psalmist. Yes, right. Yeah. But he, the Lord, comforts them.
لكن الرب بيعزيهم.
Their accusation is he doesn't care.
هم بيتهمون هو مش مهتم.
But that's what the nation of Israel said about him.
لكن هو ده اللي شعب إسرائيل قالوا عنه.
They said you don't care.
قالوا عنه هو مش مهتم.
For 70 years we are now going to be in captivity.
احنا هنكون في السبي لمدة 70 سنة.
And you've done nothing.
وانت ما عملتناش أي حاجة.
You haven't saved us. You haven't rescued us. You see my situation and you leave me where I am. Their first accusation against the Lord is that he does not care. There can't be anything worse that a child says to their parent. You know, sometimes children, when you don't give them what they want, hopefully little children, they'll often turn to you and say, but you don't love me. You don't want me to be happy. They could not be further from the truth. It's because I don't want you to be sick. That's why I don't want you to go and eat the whole box of chocolates. I don't want you to go outside when it's cold without having the proper clothes on. And I know it sounds funny. But that's what we do with the Lord. You don't care, Lord. Because if you cared, you would give me what I'm asking for. You would give me that job. You would pull me out of this position. You would just give me some instruction. Tell me what you want. And because you don't, so obviously you don't care. Now maybe no one here will ever say to the Lord, you don't care. I don't think there'll be anyone that would say these words. But I think we live these words. We live as if God doesn't care. But God cares. If God has numbered the hairs on your head, if God has known you before when you were fashioned and formed in the womb of your mother, if God has called you by name before you even came into existence, then how can you possibly say He doesn't care? How could you possibly think that He doesn't care? The second question they ask Him in Isaiah 40:27. Not only is verse 27, not only did they say that God doesn't care or my way is hidden from the Lord, but he says my judgment is passed over from my God. In other words, even if God wanted to help, it's too late. It's beyond fixing. It's beyond repair. If God wanted to do something, He should have done it earlier. This is so often the way we also think. If God wanted to save, He should have saved before we ended up in this position. But one of the things we forget about our God, I forget about Him. He's a God of impossibilities. God shows Himself mighty in these times of impossibility. And often God will leave the situation until it is absolutely beyond any help. So that He can step in and do wonders. You remember when Mary and Martha had lost their brother? The Lord found out about it before He died. Then Lazarus died. Maybe if the Lord made it to Lazarus while he was sick, maybe He could have helped him. Okay, maybe if just as soon as he died, the Lord arrived, then maybe He can help him. But they told the Lord, it's impossible now. He's been in the tomb. He would stink. His body would have already started the decay. It's impossible. So the Lord Jesus comes to the entrance of the tomb. He says, move the stone away. He says, Lazarus, come forth. You know, the people around the Lord often laughed at him. Many times we hear about how he walked into the house, I think it was of Jairus, and when he went in and he said, oh, she's just sleeping, they laughed at him. People would have thought, why are we rolling the stone away? And why would he call out to Lazarus? Did someone not explain the situation to him? Did someone not tell him that Lazarus has been dead for 3 days and it's beyond fixing? But the Lord will do what He does.
لكن الرب دائما بيعمل كده.
And the Lord loves to wait till the situations are often impossible.
الرب أحيانا بيتأخر لحد ما الموضوع يكون مستحيل يتحل.
But we like to come to God and say, God, you have to step in now.
بس احنا بنجيله نقول له انت لازم تتدخل حالا.
You have to change the things now.
لازم تغير اللي بيحصل ده دلوقتي حالا.
Because if you leave it any longer, forget it, Lord, it's not going to work.
لان لو سبت الموضوع اكتر من كده خلاص مش هينفع يتحل.
But the Lord just says, just wait.
لكن الرب بيقول استنى.
I have never been late.
انا عمري ما اتأخرت.
I have never been away from where I need to be.
أنا عمري ما كنت موجود في مكان غلط أو تأخرت عن المكان اللي كنت المفروض أكون فيه.
It reminds me of when the nation of Israel came out of Egypt.
بيفكرني بشعب إسرائيل لما طلع من مصر.
You remember when they came into the wilderness?
لما خرجوا للبرية.
And there they the Pharaoh's men were running after them.
ورجال فرعون كانوا بيجروا وراهم.
And on either side of them was the mountains.
ومن ناحيتين كان في جبال.
As they approached the Red Sea before them.
ولما وصلوا للبحر الأحمر كان قدامهم.
Their only reasoning says, Moses, what have you done? Have you brought us out here to die?
التفكير الوحيد اللي جالهم ساعتها إنه موسى أنت جبتنا هنا عشان تموتنا.
There is no solution. We cannot run back towards Pharaoh.
مفيش حل. مش هنقدر نرجع تاني ناحية فرعون.
We cannot go to either side because of the mountains.
مش هنقدر نروح أي ناحية من جنبنا.
And we cannot go forward because of the sea.
ومش هنقدر نتحرك قدام عشان البحر.
This is an impossible situation.
ده موقف مستحيل.
There is no solution. Unless the ground opens up and takes us somewhere, I don't know how we're going to be saved. So what does God say to Moses? Behold and see the salvation of God. God did the impossible.
Allah عمل المستحيل.
And what's beautiful about that incident is that before God parted the waters of the Red Sea, He brought fire down from heaven that separated the Egyptians from the Israelites. Now that hasn't solved the problem. That's just a temporary solution. And often God will do that. He'll just slow things down. He'll just provide some protection. But it's not a solution. He'll comfort you with His words. Just so that you don't go and think wrong thoughts. Just so that you don't despair. Sometimes God will just intervene just temporarily.
الله يتدخل ساعات بحلول مؤقتة.
But then maybe the people would have thought, ah, so that's how God's going to save us.
بس ساعتها ممكن تفكر آه خلاص الرب هيتدخل دلوقتي وينقذنا.
God sent fire down from heaven.
الله نزل نار من السماء.
But wait a minute, He missed them.
بس استنى لحظة النار ما نزلتش على المصريين.
He should have burnt them.
كان المفروض النار تنزل على المصريين.
That would have been a solution.
ده كان هيبقى حل كويس.
But He didn't.
بس هو ما عملش كده.
He just protected them.
هو بس حوط عليهم ويحميهم.
He just wrapped his arms around them.
حتى بس دراعاته حواليهم.
He hasn't saved them yet.
لسه ما انقذهمش.
And if you were to ask any one of the 1.7 million Israelites standing there.
لو كنت سألت واحد من المليون و700 ألف من الإسرائيليين اللي كانوا واقفين هناك.
How do you think God's going to save you?
تسأله إزاي ربنا هيخلصك.
I don't think not one of them would have said he's about to part the waters open. Because God's thoughts are not like our thoughts. His ways are not like our ways. And you know, our God is the God of impossibilities. You know the greatest evidence of the impossibilities that God does? We often think about God's ability to in His creation. For example, in verse 12 of Isaiah 40, He tells us about the ability of God. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of His hand? or measured out the heavens with the span of his hand, or comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance. God has an incredible ability. Like the prophet Jeremiah says, is there anything too hard for the Lord? And we come to God and we say to him, God, this is so difficult. This is impossible. You can do lots of things. But this is different. And so he, before he comes to this point, in verse 27, he's already told the nation of Israel, he says, do you realize that all the waters of the oceans are measured in the hollow of my hand? Or when I look at the heavens and its expanse, I put my little finger and my big finger and I just measure it out. What can you do? What are you capable of? And the impossibility of God and the ability of God is not only shown in creation. You know, the greatest evidence of God's ability that we have is that He is able to save the sinner. How do you take someone that is so ruined and make them fit for God? You know, I believe that God can measure the waters in the hollow of His hand. But you know what's harder than that? That God could change John and make him fit for God. That's far harder. That's far more impossible. The greatest evidence of God's ability is that He can change you. You know, how many times have we seen this happen, not only in the scriptures, but even in our life? How many times have we seen God take the soul of a wicked person, lost in sin, and save them? This is a picture of God's ability. And they come to Him and they say, God, even if You wanted to help us, it's too late. You can't help us now. We're in captivity. We're under the hand of Nebuchadnezzar. He's a mighty man. And we have no hope. God does the impossible. Because of these two questions, God, You don't care.
Allah, مش بتهتم.
And God, You can't help me.
يا رب, انت مش هتقدر تساعدني.
So then, verse 28 is God's response.
ففي عدد 28, الرد بتاع الرب عليهم.
So why do you say these things?
انت ليه قلت كده؟
Have you not known?
انت ما تعرفش.
Have you not heard?
أم لم تسمع.
That the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the heavens and the earth, neither faints not, neither is weary. There is no searching of His understanding. That He will give power to the faint and to the weary. And to them that have no might, He will increase strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary. And the young men shall fail. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Why? Because God does care. And because God can do the impossible. There's just two verses I want to share with you. In Jeremiah 31. Verse 25. The Lord says, "For I have satisfied the weary soul, and I have replenished every sorrowful soul." You know, this response comes after he asked a question again. In verse 22, "How long will you continue going about backsliding, daughter? How long will you continue to leave me and be far from me?" He says, "You need to realize that I am the one who will satisfy the weary soul, and I have replenished every sorrowful soul." In Jeremiah chapter 12, Jeremiah came to the Lord with a problem. And many of God's faithful men came to him with this same problem. For example, Asaph came to God with the same problem. He says, "When I look at the wicked around me, they seem to be enjoying life." And God's answer to Asaph says, "Asaph, you are looking at their life now, you can't see their eternity." Jeremiah was in the same position. Jeremiah is doing what God has called him to do. God said, "Deliver this message to my people," and it wasn't a pleasant message, but Jeremiah did it. And as a result, Jeremiah is taken and thrown into a pit. So Jeremiah comes to the Lord in verse 1 and says, "Righteous are you, O Lord." In chapter 12, Jeremiah 12:1. In other words, "Lord, I know that whatever you do is right. But," he says to him in the middle part of the verse, "why does the way of the wicked prosper? And why are those that deal treacherously with you very happy?" And then he says to him, as though to compare, he says in verse 3, "But you, Lord, know me. And you've seen me. You've tried my heart towards you." In other words, "Lord, when you look at me and look at them, there's a big difference. These people are wicked. But I'm trying to please you. So why are they happy? And here am I in chains." So here the Lord's response is probably not very helpful. But it opens his eyes. He says to him in verse 5, "If you have run with the footmen and they have wearied you, then how can you contend with the horses? If in the land of peace where you trusted, they wearied you, then how will you do when the Jordan swelled up?" So often we are tired in this journey. The psalmist tells us the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And even though he falls, the Lord will uphold him.
الرب هيقيمه.
It's a beautiful place to be on your knees for him.
حاجة كويسة إن أنت تكون على ركبك قدام الله.
It's a good place to feel you have no answers.
حاجة كويسة إن أنت تحس إنه ما فيش رد.
It's a good place to be when there are no solutions.
حاجة كويسة إنه تحس إنه ما فيش حل.
Because it's in those places.
لكن في الأوقات دي.
It's in those times.
في الأوقات دي.
That's when God says, I care.
الله هيقول لك أنا مهتم.
And that's when God says, I can. Even if you are tired. Even if you are weary. He will carry you on his wings. He will give you strength. And he says, don't get tired now. There is so much more that we have to do. So many more things that I want you not to walk in but run in. Not against the soldiers. But now against the horses. I particularly want to tell the young people that we live in a culture that encourages us to give up. We have an expression in English, I'm very sorry, that says to toss in the towel. In other words, see, this is what happens to me when the Arabic use expressions.
Okay.
It means to basically like give up, like surrender. When two people are fighting in a boxing ring, and then one of them is getting hurt, and then their manager says, no, we need to stop the fight. He will grab the towel and he will throw it into the ring. Or just put it in the ring. And then the referee will see it and he will say, stop. We live in a culture where we give up very quickly. If it makes you feel uncomfortable. If it's not what you wanted. If it's not what you dreamed of. Give up. Just walk away. Turn your back on it. But God doesn't tell us that. God tells us to persevere. To put our faith in Him. To continue on. Even if you're tired. Even if you're weary. Keep going. Because the Lord cares for you. And the Lord can do the impossible. These words have been of great encouragement to me in my life. And I pray that they will do the same for you. But often the encouragement comes because we say to God foolish things. My brother and sister, if you think God doesn't care, doesn't care about your situation, doesn't care about how you feel, you are so wrong. You're making a huge error. And my friend, if you think that the situation is impossible and God can't do anything to change it, then you don't know your God. You don't know what He's capable of. May God help us. And may God teach us to know Him. To know who He is and what He can do. Amen.
اسمح لي أشكرك بكل القلب بين أخوتي. التي تكلمنا بها في هذا الصباح أن الله هو إله المستحيلات، مع أن هذا مكتوب ونقرأه بل نتكلم به أيضا، لكن نحتاج أن نؤمن به بحق ليكون اختبار حياتنا مهما كان الأمور صعبة ومستحيلة. لا يوجد شيء غير مستطاع عند الله. نشكرك من كل القلب لكي أنك هكذا تريد أن تذكرنا مرة ثانية ارجعوا لكلمة الله واقرأوا وتعلموا إني أنا هو. يا رب نحن نشكرك من كل القلب حقا أنك أنت هو وأنت معنا وأنت لنا وأنت في كل حياتنا. لذلك أعنا لكي نستودع نفوسنا بأحمالنا بكل أطفالنا لكي تكون تبع قيادة جلالك ولتكن أنت الكل في الكل في كل شيء. اقبل شكرنا لأجل ما قدمته لنا في هذا الصباح وغيرك عميلك من استخدمته في اسم المسيح الأبان والمتراوح. آمين.